joining us, can we please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, moving to agenda item 4. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of December 10, 2018. Mrs. Dellerba, seconded by Mrs. Jors. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve the Treasurer and Business Office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for November 2018 and the internal audit claims report for November 2018. Ms. O'Brien, seconded by Mrs. Donaldson. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Passes 7-0. Mrs. Rossi, superintendent's report?
Yes, welcome everybody. Glad to have all of you here with us tonight. First, we'd like to bring up our student delegates who will give the monthly report from our student council. If anyone is here, here they are. Great.
Good evening. Senior high student council events. Tryouts have already taken place for VHS Presents and rehearsals start this week. The show is scheduled for Friday, February 8th at 7 p.m. Babylon Drama Club. Babylon had 8 students participate in the New York State Theater Educators Association NYSTEA Conference in Calicoon, New York this past weekend. We had an overwhelming influence at the conference this year. During the 5 professional workshops, some students were selected to perform in the main production on Saturday night and the closing ceremonies on Sunday morning. Out of over 700 students that attended, Babylon had 3 selected on the talent alone to perform for their entire conference. Delaney Ford performed Good Morning Baltimore, Emily Lully performed an emotional monologue, and Ashton Peverly was selected to run the light board during one of the performances. We had an amazing year, and here's looking forward to 2020.
Babylon Becca took 100 students to the Southern County Regional Competition on Thursday, January 3rd. To put that into perspective, schools like Smithtown West, Smithtown East, Capital Hills West, etc., take between 40 to 60 students. These are schools 5 to 6 times the size of Babylon. Our small school had 100 participate in the event. Of those 100, 60 qualified to compete at the DECA State Competition in Rochester, New York. Claire Riley and the club are overwhelmingly proud of the students' accomplishments. Competing over 2,000 students from across Suffolk County, Babylon students did very well, winning over 60 trophies in events such as sports marketing, professional selling, finance, retail merchandising, and business law and ethics. Congratulations to Kate Hannon, who placed first in quick serve restaurant, Megan Ackman, who placed second in hotel and lodging, Matt Pickens, second in retail merchandising, Megan Burke, third in restaurant management, Maddie Graham, first in hospitality and tourism selling, Julia Kelleher, second in financial literacy. Mr. Story and Ms. Riley are very proud of all the achievements of the DECA students. Congratulations to Ms. Riley's virtual enterprise class who competed in the Long Island VE Business Plan Competition and Trade Show on Wednesday, January 9th at Long Island University. Prior to the event, students had to submit a written business plan complete with financial reports such as break-even analysis, profit and loss reports, and income statements. Students also had to create a website for their business, prepare a company newsletter, and prepare sales materials. At the event, students had to present oral business plans and make sales of their products to other students and administrators. For the first time ever, the VE students brought home a gold award for the company website and a silver award for the company newsletter. For the science department, all last week, Science National Honor Society students tutored 7th grade students to get them ready for their first midterm in science. Great turnout for both ends.
And for the Fine Arts Department, the Art Honor Society sent 30 portraits as part of the memory project to Myanmar for the Rohingya people who are in refugee camps there. Mrs. Schweider, Mrs. Stork, and Mrs. Lucido also created portraits for 3 teachers there. Charlissi Lamantia, an 8th grader, entered the NYSADA Youth Art Month New York State Flag Contest and placed first in the junior high division. She will receive $100 worth of art supplies while her art teacher, Mrs. Stork, will receive art supplies for her classroom as well. Ava McEwen, Katie Hernandez, Lily Hagen, and Katerina Fiore have work entered into the NYSADA legislative show, which will be in February in Albany. On the shift, Tegan Castelluccio, Maggie Hogue, and Sophie Ryan will have their work on display at Old Town Hall in Babylon as part of the SCALN High School All-County Art Show during the first 2 weeks of February. This weekend, January 11th through the 13th, was the LISFA Long Island String Festival. Ms. Tomei is on the executive board of Long Island String Festival this year as a 9th, 10th grade chairperson for Suffolk County. Ms. Tomei was involved in the selection process of student nominations based on NISMA, New York State School of Music Association, rankings from school districts across Long Island. Ms. Tomei assisted at the rehearsals, prepared information for the conductor, educators, LISFA members, and students. As a chairperson, Ms. Tomei helped select educators preceding auditions and prepared the audition spots for each section. Sashi Onishi, 9th grade violinist, represented Babylon this past weekend at LISFA. Alice Schubert will be representing Babylon at the 7th, 8th grade festival the weekend of January 25th.
Great, thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Okay, I'm going to ask if Mr. D'Amico can join me up at the podium, as well as Mr. Cerrone and Mr. Murphy. We have a very special presentation tonight. Tonight we're going to be presenting on the Wilson Technological programs that are offered at one of four campuses through Western Suffolk BOCES. And we're so excited to have students here with us tonight who attend those Wilson Tech programs and their parents. So thank you so much for coming out tonight. We're going to have the option to hear from the kids tonight. These are students, and I must say I am so proud that Babylon offers career and technical programs to kids, because so many schools throughout Long Island are trying to bring these programs back in-house. And if you've never been to the Wilson Tech campus, it's a very, very special place. As a board, we go every year, right? Every December. And they have, I think over 50 career and technical educational programs in which Suffolk County students are able to attend. And we're one of the districts that continues to support that program. And we could not do it without the support of our parents, our principals, our guidance counselors, our parents, and especially our students. So we're very excited to have the kids here with us tonight. We're going to hear from them in a few slides. We're going to briefly tell you a little bit about the program. I'm going to turn it over to Mr. D'Amico, who will share with you some of... Oh, I'm doing this one, right? Okay. So when we went to BOCES back in December, we heard from the Chief Operating Officer of Western Suffolk BOCES, Michael Flynn, and all of the districts get together, and we get to see all the programs that our kids go to. And whether it's cosmetology or aviation or whatever you have, HVAC is a big program that we're sending students to now. He shared with us some of the outcomes. And one of those outcomes was that 99% of the students who completed a two-year Wilson Tech program have earned a high school diploma. Post-graduation success for students who completed a two-year program, 70% of those kids go on to college and post-secondary training. 26 become immediately employed or go to serve in our military. And 4% might be unable to work due to medical reasons or just unemployment in the field. But they have very, very good results coming out of that program. More than $100,000 in scholarship monies are offered to the students. 47 students in the class of 2017, which is the most recent data that he gave us, earned top honors at state and national competitions. These are some of the...
Yeah, so I think what's interesting about this slide, it's showing where the students who graduate, who go on to college, the types of colleges they're going to. And it really shows the variety of colleges that they're going to. So there's local colleges like Adelphi, Hofstra, Malloy, St. John's. there's out-of-state colleges, colleges in Maine, Florida, Virginia. There's other, now, vocational-type colleges. You'll see the culinary institutes on here, Johnson's in Wales, which also has a great culinary program. There's community colleges, Nassau, Suffolk, LaGuardia is on here. And there's military colleges. So you see the U.S. Naval Academy and the U.S. Military Academy. Very similar to all of our students. They're going, attending a variety of colleges with a variety of programs. This shows all of the different programs that are available at Wilson Tech. You'll see there's 35 of our students there taking part in many different programs. Some of them traditional in what you might think of in occupational programs. So you'll see things like there's auto body repair, culinary skills we talked about. There's a whole host of programs related to the medical field. And then there's more programs that are associated with the type of modern technologies that we're all working with. So you see there's drone technology up there. There's robotics, digital film, and video production. So again, just like they're attending a variety of universities and a variety of programs, they're working at Wilson Tech in that they have opportunities with that same type of variety.
We have a total of 35 students right now who go half day to Babylon High School and then half day to Wilson Tech. And Mr. Murphy will, or Mr. Saron will explain how the day works in a few minutes. But 35 students from this small high school is quite a large number. We're very proud of that, especially when so many districts are cutting back funds on these type of programs. We feel these kind of programs really are so wonderful for students. We have success stories at the end of the year where students will maybe, say, graduate from the nurse assisting program. They have immediate employment after high school with very good salaries, criminology, like Mr. D'Amico said, auto body repair. I mean, these children are coming out with outstanding skills, HVAC. I mean, they could be coming out making six figures, some of them, right out of high school. We're very pleased that BOCES offers these programs. We support BOCES. I think BOCES is very happy that we're even presenting on this tonight. It's just an amazing place because not every student is the college-bound, the traditional, what we think of 4 years. I mean, there are many, many careers that require you to work with your hands that you can make a wonderful, wonderful living and a beautiful life out of, and we believe in that. And we're very happy that we're a district that supports that. Okay, so we're going to turn it over to Mr. Murphy, who's our Director of Science, and Mr.
Hi. Since we got back from break, one of the things that's, I know, on our minds of guidance as well as with Mr. Saron and Mrs. Mangoni is scheduling. So we're about to go into the scheduling process, and as part of scheduling, we talk about tech and the opportunity to go to Wilson Tech, to one of the four campuses. We're fortunate every year to have someone from Wilson Tech come over to the school and present to all the 10th grade students. They all have the opportunity to come down and see a presentation similar to this, but with a video about all the different programs, how the days work, and basically she gives them all the information that they need to understand how many different programs are out there. Then what will happen after that, the students will go on and they'll speak with their counselor. And if they are interested in visiting one of the programs, we run a visitor's day. So we run send four different buses to all the different campuses, and the students have an opportunity to go over and shadow and sit in on those classes for the afternoon or the morning, and figure out, okay, is this really something that I want? Is it what it was all built up to be in the syllabus? You know, what they've heard about it? Is this really, you know, what I want out of my high school career? There are often times when a student visits a campus for a particular program, and maybe it's not what they thought it was going to be. At that point, they still would have an opportunity to see something else. We don't run a widespread second trip, but they said if they wanted to go see HVAC because they went to see carpentry, we could set something up and send them over on the bus with our tech students to do so. So it just so happens that this Friday, right after midterms, we figured this Friday is a good week to do it. We have a woman coming over from tech to present during sixth and seventh periods back to back. Students will have the opportunity to come down and listen to the presentation. They do a really, really great job. And then the scheduling process goes on from there.
I think you would hear, you're going to hear from some of them tonight, but I think most of them will tell you that there is, you know, we're a small building, 6 years here, there's an interest, and then they find a program of study, it's hands-on, it's people in the industry that they learn from, and it's nothing like I was saying, Jared, right, that was, he'll come back and he'll talk HVAC to you for 2 hours if he wants to, right, like, on what he's learning there, and, you know, it's both. They still stay a Babylon student, but they stay connected at school there because it's something that interests them. They have fun doing it. There's a lot of competitions that they can do, Skills USA, things like that, which they love. I'm sure that's what some of them are going to talk about.
Yeah. Before they come up, also, they do run, like I said, the AM and the PM session. So a lot of times students think, oh, well, tech, am I going to be able to take this class or that class? The AM session runs from periods 1 through 5 in the morning, then they take the bus back, and the PM session is periods 6 through 9. We try to do our best, and I know Ms. Mangoni, Mr. Cerrone try to do our best to build the schedule so that if a student is there in the morning, they'll still have opportunities to come back here and take some classes. Sometimes it's not always that easy, and students have to make a decision and say, okay, what can I do? What is more important to me for my future? They also integrate academics over at Wilson Tech. So if we can't fit a mathematics or an English or a PE, we can have the students take it over there, either integrate it into their program or as a pullout. So they really do a nice job so that the students don't really miss out on anything. And our students who go to Tech can also be involved here in extracurriculars. Everything that a student here can do, students that go to Tech can do as well.
It does give them an outlet of which what is hard to do in our building is credit recovery. And there is a piece at Tech that's built in credit recovery, so they can, you know, they can do as many as 9 or 10 credits in the school year. We're pretty much limited to about 7 or 8.
Right now, I'd like to, if we can, bring up some, you know, how it worked out with us. Yeah, we have, so today we got Deanna, Gina, Jared, Marilyn, and Chris. You guys want to come on up? Jared, you want to lead us off? We'll just kind of go down the line, tell them who you are, what grade you're in, what you're doing, and how you ended up where you're at.
Yeah, I'm a student over at Wilson Tech. I'm a senior. I take HVAC, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. This is my second year, and my situation is a little unique because I do this thing called a work program where I'm let off 2 days a week from school. I actually go to work for a full day. I'm in the field already. I work for a pretty good company that teaches me a lot, and I wouldn't have got there without the help of BOCES. I was hired after 1 year of being in the class, so my boss really gave me an opportunity to try to grow in this industry.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they asked if they could use the mic so they could announce.
One thing with Jared, why he is where he is too, like Jared could easily be going on to college next year. Right, he had all his requirements knocked out. He had, I think after his junior year, he was sitting with 22 credits already. So that's one reason why. I'm sure Jared will go back to college one day, but it'll be on the company that he's working for. It's not his parents.
Thank you.
I'm Marilyn Mejia. I go to Western Suffolk BOCES. I'm in the culinary program. It is my second year going into culinary. I wanted to go to culinary because ever since I was a kid, I've always loved baking and pastry, and in Western Suffolk BOCES, they do baking and pastry and culinary arts are combined into one. There's culinary one and culinary two, first year and second year. I am a second year student. I was offered a job like halfway through the first year at Southward Hill Country Club in Bayshore, and I've been working there since end of March, just on weekends, and then in May I started working there full time. I'm very grateful to be able to go to BOCES and get my education from BOCES because I'm also in Skills USA. I'm Skills USA AM secretary. We do a lot of competitions and we do little parties and everything that coincide with our each and individual tech programs. So I'm very grateful to be able to have such an amazing experience at BOCES and for everything that they've offered me. I've had scholarships from Skills USA and from regular culinary and from here, from Babylon. So honestly, I'm very, very grateful for Western Suffolk BOCES since I'm going to be going to Johnson & Wales University for 2 years, 2 years Suffolk here, and then 2 years in Johnson & Wales. So thank you.
To cosmetology. This is my second year. I wanted to go to cosmetology because my aunt is a hairstylist. It's fun. I learn a lot. During our senior year, we get to bring in actual people to work on. My sister comes in, my mom comes in, and it's a really great experience because like they'll tell you if they don't like their hairstyle. And they're honest. My sister is honest with me if they don't like it. So I'm also in Skills USA. I am the AM vice president. And it's just a great opportunity to meet new people. And at first, I did not want to go to BOCES. Like, last year when I was in 11th grade, Ms. Vaccaro was like, oh, maybe you should do it. And I'm just like, I don't want to lose my friends. Like, I have people here. I'm just like, it's an opportunity to get started on your life. And there's no reason why no one should want to do this unless they like it here. But I'm very grateful. I don't know where I'm attending college yet, but hopefully my career is something with cosmetology.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Gina Tripp. I also go to cosmetology. It's my second year. And like Deanna said, we're very grateful to have the customers actually coming in because we get the real work experience and we learn like how it works in a salon. Like you can't curse or act a certain way, and you have to be very professional. And it's really helped me boost my grades here because going there half the day and doing something I like and I'm good at really helps me. And the math there, it boosts everything here. So I was able to get my grades up the last 2 years and get into a lot of colleges. So I'm really grateful for it, and I'm grateful that we don't have to spend all the money that people usually spend to get all the skills that we've gotten. And that at the end of the 2 years, we get to go and take our licensing exam with our 1,000 hours that we didn't have to pay for. And that is just a great experience. And we will go into the work field really experienced because we have the 2 years of schooling at BOCES.
Hi, my name is Christopher Malazzo. I am a second year for audio production. In 10th grade, I found out about it. I got really interested in it because I've always had a passion for music, but I'm not the greatest at playing an instrument. I can't sing. I've always been interested behind the scenes, editing, software, mixing, mastering. It always interests me. I found out about BOCES through Mr. Vaccaro, and it just struck with me and found out about it. I went for a tour. I loved it. And then my teacher, Mr. O'Toole, became such a great mentor for me. And I'm also a Skills USA officer and member. I'm a reporter for the AM. I've also, last year, I went on for competitions. I went to Suffolk. I also went to Syracuse. I made 7th in the state for audio production at all of New York State. It's such a great experience. It also helps with college. It also just, it helps me have an advantage over other people who want to do what I do, but I also have the portfolio, the things that it helped me achieve for other people. I'm very grateful for BOCES and just very grateful that it's helping me exceed so far in life.
We're very grateful for them coming out tonight, and I must say the future is definitely bright. Would you agree? Definitely bright. So thank you, everybody.
Champion of this program. Right. 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 Right
It's like they're already snapping.
All right, now look at me. This one's going in the papers.
This would be the perfect time if the kids and the parents want to exit.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay, just a few updates. We're definitely pleased to announce that the district has applied and has been approved by the New York State Education Department to implement the New York State Seal of Biliteracy Program. I have to give credit to Mrs. Scharf, who worked with Mr. D'Amico. This was a conversation we had last year. She's made it come to fruition with constant conversations. We're very happy about this, and it recognizes high school graduates leading up to graduation who will attain a high level of proficiency in listening, speaking, reading, and writing in one or more languages, in addition to English. The intent of the program is to encourage the study of a second language, identify potential high school graduates with the biliteracy skills that will help them in future employment, and students who earn this seal of biliteracy must demonstrate proficiency in both English and a world language. That includes they have to earn a score of 3 or more on an AP English exam and have an 80 or more on the test of English as a foreign language. Students must also earn points by presenting a culmination project that meets the criteria for the ELA and world language skills of speaking, listening, reading, and writing. Big accolades to everybody who helped promote this. It's one of our goals as we expand the foreign languages within Babylon, and it should be in effect for the 1920 school year, most definitely. We're hoping, right, for this year's graduates, that we can maybe pull it together and get them the seal if we can, right? Okay. The kids talked about the college virtual enterprise competition, so I'm not going to repeat that. I will mention that this past Saturday, I attended the annual Eastern Suffolk BOCES Advocacy Workshop, in which I spent the day with colleagues. We had the opportunity to focus on the upcoming state and federal legislative sessions. Our priorities include funding, common sense legislation that empowers districts to serve every kid every day. Additionally, this Friday, January 18th, Dr. Daly, Mr. D'Amico, and myself will be representing Babylon at the Western Suffolk BOCES Legislative Breakfast. I'm going to be actually presenting on prudent modifications to the tax levy cap to Western Suffolk and Nassau districts, as well as a call for our legislators to authorize districts to establish a teacher's retirement system reserve for fiscal planning. So when we do our legislative workshop in March, these will be our talking points when we get our community summit here in this room at our Babylon workshop. And that is all I have for news.
Thank you, Mrs. Brown. Okay, moving on to committee reports. Audit Committee, Ms. Johnson.
Hello, everyone. So item number 27 on our agenda is we're asking for your approval of the audit report.
Thank you. Finance Committee, Mrs. Jules.
Sure, we'll be meeting on the 28th. This is about the floor.
Thank you. Buildings and Grounds, Mr. Benzay.
We will be meeting on the 28th. This as part of the work study day. Probably the biggest news is on Saturday, the 26th of January, we're going to do a community walkthrough where students are being invited to attend really all three schools. And this is a chance to see what your $26.6 million will. Actually, about half of it you won't be able to see because it was going to things like roofs and concrete reinforcement and windows and that kind of thing. But we will give a walkthrough of all three buildings and want to spread the word as much as possible in the community. It is also happening, it's happening on the same day as the Super Bowl of Care. Yep, absolutely. So it's a great thing. So, yeah. Exactly.
I just want to mention.
Yeah.
These are in the back of the room. This is an invitation, Mr. Bensavenga.
Yeah.
This is also what was just emailed tonight to family members. It's open to the community, and it goes into detail about that Saturday.
Thanks.
All right.
Also, at the works, at the next building grounds meeting, if we can get our friends at SEC to give us final numbers for the bond, that would be great. We also need to talk about some projects that were being discussed kind of before the Christmas holidays, and take a look at also, we have about $2 million in the capital reserve fund that we have not touched, and we have identified some projects over the course of the last couple of years. We need to start making some decisions on that.
And we'll have estimates, will we not, for the...
They know to be here, Mr. Cievo. Right, Dr. Daly? Mr. Cievo, Mr.
Yes.
Warren will be here.
Great. That's amazing. Thanks very much.
Okay, great. Thank you. Technology Committee, Mr. Malzahn?
We have nothing to report at this time.
Okay, thank you. And we have Curriculum Committee, Mrs. Delarco.
Same thing. Continue discussing mindfulness at our next meeting.
Okay. And Policy Committee, Mr. Bryan.
We have two policies up for a second reading and adoption today. They are, but it was about displaying the flag and parent and family engagement. Yep, 15 and 16. Mm-hmm. And our next meeting is going to be on January 31st. We had to cancel the meeting last week due to conflicts. So January 31st at 3:30.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, moving on to agenda item 8, questions from visitors on agenda items only. Please approach the podium and state your name. These are for agenda items.
Good evening, Robert Stroh. On agenda item number 20, that's an agreement between Babylon Village and the school. Roughly, what is that? Is there like a money saving there or like a shared service type thing?
There is a money savings, yes. We had been, as you know, our solid waste removal was being handled by a private contractor. That contract was on state contract.
So they would be doing things like snow removal or things of that nature?
This agreement that's on the board agenda tonight is specific to solid waste removal and additional security services.
Okay. And items number 22 and 23, could you give me a price on the cost of those agreements, roughly, hourly rate?
Okay, item 22 is our contractual commitment to the installation of a VoIP, VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol phone system.
Okay.
There will be no cost to the district in the 18-19 school year. This is just to get the work started and to commit to the company to perform the work. All told, it'll be about $30,000 in annual recurring cost.
Mm-hmm.
That cost will replace the old $30,000 we were paying Eastern Suffolk Postings.
Okay. I just like to have the numbers.
I understand.
Item number 23, please.
Item number 23 is an outside consultant who will be doing an individualized psychoeval on a student. They range from speech language services to behavioral services to professional development and training. There are various different fees for whatever the district would utilize her for based on the contract.
Would it be basically like on an hourly basis?
Correct. Correct.
Okay,
Any other questions from visitors on agenda items? Seeing no further questions, may I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 7 and 9 through 27. Ms. O'Brien, seconded by Mr. Montato. Any discussion? All in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 7 and 9 through 27. Mrs. Juris, seconded by Mrs. Dellerba. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor? Against? Okay, passes 7-0. Mrs. Rossi, would you be up to reading item 8?
Sure. Resolved that upon the recommendation of the Superintendent of Schools, the Board of Education approves the following casual appointments for the 2018-2019 school year. Compensation for these positions to be in accordance with the 2018-2019 Babylon Teachers Association contract.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve agenda item 8? Mrs. Donaldson, seconded by Ms. O'Brien. Okay. All four? Against? Okay. Passes 6-1. Okay, moving on to other business.
Yes, I do have a number of items just to bring up. At our last open meeting back in December, a trustee inquired as to the insurance time frame on tablets, as well as summer technology assistance. So according to our Director of Technology, Mr. DeLeo, the insurance will run up until August 30th. So if parents purchase the insurance for the tablets, that insurance goes up until August 30th. So September 1 starts the new phase of insurance coverage. Additionally, summer technology fixes are typically addressed by districts during the last week of August. Rarely throughout any time in the summer months, we want to focus where it's a specific week in August or 2 weeks maybe leading up to the opening of schools. He and his team feel that by giving parents that window, that will be enabling them to drop off devices if a fix needs to be made. Obviously, if someone really had an issue and has a major issue with the devices during the summer months, because we are letting the kids take them home during the summer months. We would never turn anybody away if there was ever a problem, but we're trying to funnel everybody into those last 2 weeks of August there if there are some fixes to be made. Okay?
I guess that's the summer assignments. I think that was a mention. If they have a summer assignment that there would be, and they had a problem with the computer, then there would be some way.
Yes, well, we have staff here all summer anyway, so no one's going to turn them away, you know. So with that being said, just wanted to get back to the board on that question.
Thank you.
Also, Mr. Bensavenga talked about the community bond walkthrough. That has been pressed in the Babylon Beacon, and we want to continue doing that. I sent a memo out about it tonight through email. Those will be going out a couple times weekly leading up to next Saturday. And I also just want to bring to the board's attention our fourth annual community summit and legislative breakfast is Friday, March 1st. Okay.
Trish, also want to just recognize the Challenge for Athletics for the donation. I'm 12 on the agenda.
Okay, so what time is that? 9 o'clock? 10
o'clock.
10.
Okay.
And that one, okay. On the 3 one.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
Agenda
item 11, representatives of organizations. Please approach the podium and state your name. Any representatives from organizations? Seeing no representatives, agenda item 12, questions or comments from visitors. Please approach the podium and state your name.
Robert Stroh, I have one question. This recent incident that we had with the gun in the bathroom, is that person, first of all, was there a protocol, is there a protocol that you have to follow
yes.
in reporting this?
Yes.
Okay.
And we did.
Does this person go on like a data list? Because I would find it rotten if they can't work here and they can get a job somewhere else without. Is there like a data?
We're not, yeah, I'm sorry, we're not allowed to talk about specific personnel?
I'm not talking about, asking a generalized question. I'm not asking about a specific.
We've been in touch with the local police department, and they take it from there.
Okay, thank you.
Is this one?
Yep, any other questions from visitors? Just please approach the podium and state your name.
Hi, I'm Courtney Sarong. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I'm here tonight because I wanted to address a concern and pose some questions that I have regarding our harassment and bullying policy presently in place in the district. I hope you had time to read the emails that I sent to you. Mine was specific to my fifth grade son, who was physically assaulted 3 times at the grade school by a specific student, starting back in October up until recently in January. He was scared to participate in unstructured school's activities like band and recess, and he was starting to show some little anxiety about it. So throughout this experience, there were various actions that the administration did take. There was correspondence between emails. We had meetings. There was 3 GASA complaints that I filed. There was disciplinary actions taken. And there was an intervention put in place. The concerns that I specifically have were in regards with the process. So some of the concerns I had was the time frame that this took place in, that I feel like it just went on way too long, where too many students were exposed to constant bullying and harassment. I feel like there was a lack of action from the administration until parent initiation, that my son and peers were repeatedly interviewed over the same instance over and over again with different incidences but the same issue. One time it was done even without my permission. When I asked my son to not be interviewed without me, he still was. What I was told by administration is they needed adult witnesses because as of that point there was only children witnesses. To me this conflicts with our present social emotional curriculum that we've implemented where we're telling children that they have a voice, but yet we're constantly interviewing them over the same thing and clearly not showing any change in their perspective because the same issue is coming up over and over again without, in their view, action. So the intervention that seemed to have been working was taken away and another physical assault took place. The concerns and questions that I'd like to express relate to the harassment and bullying policy and the code of conduct specifically. In the policy, I feel that it's too vague and too subjective. It states, quote, each case will be handled individually. It also says, quote, consequences for a student who commits an act of bullying shall be unique to the individual incident and will vary in method and severity, quote. If each case is handled individually and consequences vary, there are too many variables that can create conflicts, feelings of injustice, and arguments. The code of conduct is not easy to read, and it's very long, which results in not anything that's clear to the parents and students without the amount of research that I had to go into. Prohibited student conduct with examples are listed. It's pages 9 through 12. It's 4 pages long. Then, separately, penalties are given. Pages 13 through 21, 8 more pages. But this is just too long. It doesn't clearly state the discipline actions that will be taken with infractions clearly. So overall, how can our administration effectively create a safe and orderly environment if our policy is not clear and precise and specifically delineate the level of infraction to a specific disciplinary action? So my questions, which I would like documented and considered, are, can the district review and discuss how the harassment and bullying policy and code of conduct can be written and presented clearly and precisely to students, parents, and administration where a level of infraction based upon severity and of the infraction are displayed? Can we look at other schools? For example, I'm a teacher in a school district, and we send home a very clear chart that says levels 1 through 6, this is the level of offense, this is the level, this is the disciplinary action, and this is the school interventions. It's very clear. It's easy to read. It's only a few pages long. That's then sent home in the back-to-school packet where each parent and student has to sign, and then it's returned. I feel like if we do this, then the parents, the children, administration, everybody's clear. There's nothing left for debate. this is what you did, this is the reaction to it, here's the intervention. So, I would like those to be considered. I don't know if we can request to put this on the agenda for the next meeting, or if at this point what we do, but I would like some answers on that, or to have this open for further discussion.
Comments, yes. Mrs. Cerrone, thank you for coming tonight.
Thank you.
I appreciate your eloquently getting up there, and we got it. We have it on tape, so I know that was a long, but we have it documented. We do review policies, and we will definitely, you know, look into that, into your questions, and follow up in our next meeting with, you know, how we move forward. Let me begin by saying, you know, it is our duty and our obligation to make sure every child feels safe in school every day, all the time. Regarding policy, you know, I'm Mr. Fasano, do you want to mention anything?
Sure. Just
regarding
as far
the DASA
as
policy itself and the
individual discipline can actually have a cookie cutter approach to discipline, so you can't have a one size fits all approach. Discipline needs to be individualized. It is progressive discipline in New York. So such factors do you have in your code of conduct, which is the same code of conduct practically every school district in New York adopts because it's followed by NISBA, is that you have to take into account other factors such as the student's age. So if a kid's, you know, a 6-year-old child, the level of discipline for that child will be different than the child who's 10, 11, or 12. So those are all factors not only should you consider, but you actually have to consider. So we really can't have that cookie-cutter type of discipline approach, but you can have even those schools that have a level 1 infraction, level 2 infraction, and they outline the types of misconduct, the types of penalties that you could receive. Again, there will be a boilerplate language at the beginning of that says this is advisory only, and the Board of Education, the district, reserves its right to either modify, go up a level, or go down a level based on its own interests. So.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing? Because in my school, it says for kindergarten through grade 5, level 1, here's their chart.
Yeah.
So then they have one for the high school. And the students are very clear. In my high school where I teach, you get into a fight, you're both disciplined. It's end of this discussion. There's no debate left. So if other schools are implementing something like this, something so clear and easy to read, I think we would eliminate some of the behaviors that are occurring. This is not the only incident. Or the only student. This has been going on. I've spoken to many parents who have the same concerns about bullying and harassment. So I would really hope that we can consider implementing something that other schools have already done.
We're all about how do we get better.
Right.
And please know, take your concerns
absolutely
very seriously, and we definitely, you know, through the question and continue dialogue, continue pursue. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, I'm sorry, can it be added to an agenda? What do we do from
well,
here?
Well, we'll go from here probably to policy committee.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it up again.
Yeah.
I'm still not clear.
I'm going to bring it up again here next month. You know, we do have a policy committee. The code of conduct also we have to review annually in-house. So
it shows it was revised last in 2012. But
they start
show
update
here that under the dissemination, monitoring, review, and reporting section, it states each year as part of the annual review of the code of conduct, this policy will be reviewed and assessed of its effectiveness.
Yes.
And it's been last time, 2012.
That was the last time it was adopted. But we do review
right
it each year internally.
There's been no consideration of change in that.
You know, well, that's why we're taking your concerns wholeheartedly right now,
mm-hmm,
you know, because when we do review it, you know, it's documented, and you know we'll continue to talk with legal counsel. What, you know, things come down from NISBA too that guide amendments to those policies.
Well, I would just suggest if she has, I see she has a copy of her. I know
she can hand it in. Yeah.
Many of my school districts that do that have something similar, but again, there'll always be a provision that says I reserve the right to move up or move down. Nothing in that will lock you into something. But if she wants, for example, share that,
yes,
and you can discuss that the next policy committee meeting.
Correct.
Right.
Excellent. Thank
you.
Sure, you can bring it on up.
I'll take it.
Okay.
And I know what school district it is.
Okay. One for you.
Are there any other questions from visitors? Please approach the podium and state your name, questions, or comments.
My name is Pete Whelan. I just want to come up here, too, because I have some of the same concerns that Mrs. Cerrone has. I feel very strongly about some of these things and the lack of action that the administration has taken in regards to physical violence within the school and bullying. My son was also physically assaulted on a couple occasions by the same student. The first time, my wife emailed the teacher. with the bruises to my son's arm. With this incident, an investigation never occurred. Administration never called my wife to find out what happened, and the student was never disciplined. These are things that I have a problem with, where we're really encouraging students to come forward to report these things, and there's a lack of action, I feel, at the administrative level to really effectively discipline these students at all.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but can we not talk about personnel in an open forum?
I'm just talking about administration, that's all. Right?
I mean, okay.
The intervention was working, I felt. After the intervention was removed, my son was the person who was assaulted after it was removed. So obviously, I'm very upset again that this is something to me that is preventable. What I feel the problems that I have is that there, as Mrs. Cerrone stated, there's very much a, there's not much we can do. It's a he said, she said approach. There's no witnesses. Without witnesses, we really can't do much. I think we all know that a lot of these bullying instances or acts of physical violence do occur without witnesses, do occur without, you know, being interviewed right away. The kids don't always come forward the second that they all happen. So I think it's important that we really need to try to adopt some kind of routine or procedure to really report these things. Another issue I had is, even when each of my concerns were brought to the school, I never got any kind of guidance or forms. I actually got them from other people of what these are the things that you can do to forms that you can fill out to document these things. No one ever guided me on that. No one ever told me, you know, what to do with that. The discipline policy seems to be extremely vague. There seems to be any lack of direction in regards to, it's pretty much a kind of fly-by-ear, you know, just kind of, we're going to see what happens and we're just going to do this and we'll see how it goes. It doesn't seem like there's any clear direction about what is going to be specifically done. I totally understand what he is saying, where there is no way you can have a set policy where if this guy does this, he gets this. Of course, there's always going to be a vague distinction and things can move back and forth in regards to discipline. But it does seem like that there is really no policy at all in regards to follow, so we can help guide the administration to really properly handle these things. I speak for myself, but I also speak for a lot of parents that I think these situations, they're upsetting. And I think they're upsetting because we constantly strive to tell our children that this is what you need to do when something like this occurs. And they're consistently seeing things that are not being done or not being addressed. And the administration will say, I understand from a privacy standpoint, they can't say what's being done. But at the same time, the lack of action, I feel, has caused a lot of people to endure these things that shouldn't have if people had taken the proper protocols and steps sooner. I agree that the school conduct policy seems long, very confusing, hasn't been updated in a long time. My biggest issue, too, is why isn't the conduct policy, A, simplified, and B, why isn't it sent home? My question for the board is, why isn't the conduct policy sent home, and many other districts do this, and have the student sign it and the parent sign it, so the student knows exactly what is expected of him, and he knows what will happen if he doesn't follow that code of conduct policy. So that's one of the questions that I have for the board.
That's a great question. Great question, and we're going to follow up with that also with our principals, I promise you. That's a very good question. It is in the school calendar.
Yeah, but it's not signed, obviously. And then also we have to look at the level, but that's something that we need to entertain between, kindergarten and sixth grade, and then obviously 7 through 12 would be a variety in terms of language.
Some districts are starting to send them home electronically, and I don't even know if I like that, because there's something special when you get something like that in the mail, paper-wise, and parent and child needs to sit down and read it together and sign it, you know?
Yeah.
Actually sign a piece of paper rather than sign off electronically. But that's a very good point as well.
And then the next question I have for the board is can we get some disciplinary procedures set in place for the different schools?
Well, I have to say, we do have procedures. Mm-hmm. Do you want to comment in terms of, again, they vary, you know,
so,
depending
on the
building.
So, as far as the DAS investigations, that's district-wide. As far as, you know, the law and general policy, that is district-wide. But each building needs to be a little different. So, for example, you have something that happens at the grade school, Ms. Holbrook's response is going to be much different than Mrs. Cerrone's response at the high school, just because you have the student age. And I know a lot of times you hear it, but you may not know what we're doing on our end just because we can't comment on it, but I assure you that the board and the district are always working on all the complaints that they receive. You know, we just can't go into great detail on a lot of that stuff.
All right, well, I understand what he's saying, but I respectfully disagree with that, that the complaints are being handled. That's how I feel, you know, because I've had, I specifically put one in and it wasn't, nothing was done, nothing was handled. I know you can't say legally, but, you know, I'm pretty confident that it was kind of, you know, swept under the rug. So I think that we need to really, the board and the administration need to really make sure that when these things are reported, there's a step-by-step process that needs to be followed. And I kind of feel, they're not here, but I think a lot of parents feel the same way. There's really not a step-by-step guideline of what's being done once these incidences are being reported.
Well, actually, Board Regulation 0100-R actually outlines step-by-step what to do when you receive a DAS or harassment policy. So that is already in policy, and that is district-wide.
Well, it may be in policy, but it doesn't mean necessarily it's being followed on every school level.
They do have a policy, and exactly what you want, they currently do have.
Okay.
So you can actually look it up online, their DAS and policy.
Well, then I think we need to make sure that the policy that is online that is being enforced.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much for coming up.
Can I just ask a DAS a question? What happens to those three DASs that I was fought that were filed?
Could you just go to the podium? I'm sorry, Lisa. Thank you.
So if I filed three DASA complaints, I never heard, I know there's an investigation that takes place, which I know did happen in our case, but then what happens?
That would, you'd have to ask the building principal, is that that's at the level we are.
So who is the DASA coordinator?
The building principal.
Is the principal for each
correct,
building.
Correct.
So they have a certain protocol that they need to follow?
Correct.
And where is that outlined?
If you just go on their district policy, on the board policy, you'll see the code of conduct. It's right there. You'll also see DAS, the Dignity of All Students Act. I think bullying and harassment is also named. But I think the exact policy is 0100.
I did look at that. I have it printed there, and I didn't see, like, specific.
You got to look at the regulation and the policy.
It's within.
It's on the regulation. The policy sets the parameters. The regulation defines what to do with the policy.
Okay, I have to look at that. I didn't see that.
And if you can't find it, by all means, just give us a call.
Give me
a call. And then we'll lead you to that.
Okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Is there any other questions from visitors? See no further questions. This future board meetings, we do have a work study on Monday, January 28th, and then following that, we'll have a buildings and grounds meeting as well, and then we have a regular business meeting that will be on Monday, February 11th. May I have a motion to adjourn? Mr. Benzmega, seconded by Ms. O'Brien. All in favor? Okay, against? Okay, passes 7-0. Okay, have a good evening. We appreciate everybody coming out. Thank you.